Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Today we talk about communion. It is the first Saturday in the month, and so we have communion today. And the subject is significance of communion, the significance of it. The Bible text is from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 and 25. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Taking communion is not just eating and drinking. The significance of communion is that we actually take part in the body of Christ and in the blood of Jesus Christ. In the time of the disciples, communion was only given to those who were baptized. When someone accepted the Lord, Jesus Christ, they were baptized on the same day. If someone refused to be baptized, he wasn't accepted as a believer. Therefore, there was no teaching about not baptized believers, because that didn't exist. Today, many think that someone who is baptized as a baby is a Christian, but that is not the case. You have to deliberately give your life to Jesus Christ because it is by faith. We baptize young people when they are 16, even though some were believers before. This is because it is a difficult age with every person that we have to go through. We also had to go through that age of transition. Many have given up faith during this time. Therefore, before 16, we don't give communion, especially not to babies. Many misunderstandings are about communion. They think, some people, they think taking part will bring us nearer to God. Some teach that the bread becomes flesh and the wine becomes blood, actually. This is also wrong teaching, because when Jesus instituted communion, he was still on earth. This is my body and this is my blood, yet he had not been crucified at this time. Therefore, we understand that bread is a symbol of his body and the wine is a symbol of blood. Some churches use wine, but we are using grape juice. At the time of Jesus, wine was normal drink, and they didn't have any grape juice as we have today. So the wine what they used was different to our wine. They didn't have, some people, they have communion every day. Some churches, they celebrate communion in every service, in choir practice, in music band practice, in whatever they have, they take communion. And some churches, they never do, because they have a misunderstanding. Some think they have to pray and fast and purify themselves before taking communion. But fasting and prayer and purification must happen every day, whether you take communion or not. Apart from that, we have to be right with God all the time. Jesus and his disciples were celebrating the Passover meal. The first Passover meal was on the eve before the Exodus from Egypt took place. God planned to deliver Israelites from slavery in Egypt. They were in Egypt for 430 years, exact the time that God had prophesied to Abraham. Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, didn't want them to go. And they were slaves and were used for workers in the extensive building projects of Pharaoh. Now God called Moses and instructed him in Exodus chapter 12, verse 3. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. Then verse 8, then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in the fire, with unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat. If we understand the reason for the Passover, we understand communion. It's not something new that Jesus invented, but he gave the reason, a new reason, to this Passover. A much bigger reason than just a thing that is done. There were 10 plagues over Egypt, and the last one was the slaying of the firstborn. That night God was going to kill all the firstborn in all Egypt, and to protect his people, he instructed the Israelites to put blood of that lamb on the doorposts. And as the angel of death was going through the land, wherever the blood was on the doorpost, he passed over. And that is why we call it Passover. Deliverance from slavery had a big price. We read in Exodus 12 and 13. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment, I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. From earliest times, the firstborn had a very high priority in the family. God said, the firstborn is mine. So to kill the firstborn of Egypt caused a lot of pain and loss. Blood was equally significant. We know the sacrifice of Cain and Abel. Cain, he often sacrificed some of the products of the field. But Abel, he sacrificed the firstborn animal. It was blood. God said in Leviticus 17:11 that the blood, the life is of the flesh, is in the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Slaying of the firstborn had to do with blood. The sign of blood at the doorpost was a sign of life. The Israelites were to remember this day throughout the generations. Pesach, as it is called today, is not just an important festival in Israel for all Jews. In Israel, for 1 week, there is no car driving, no work is done, no aeroplane is flying, because it's such an important thing, what they remember. Everyone remembers how God delivered the Israelites. Even at school, they are talking about that. Passover is to be remembered forever. In Exodus 12:14, it says, "So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations." That means forever. "You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance." And the Bible tells us why we should celebrate Passover in Exodus 12:26 and 27. It says, "And it shall be when your children say to you, 'What do you mean by this service?' that you shall say, 'It is a Passover sacrifice of the Lord who passed over the house of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households.' So the people bowed their heads and worshipped." The Passover meal is eaten in every Jewish family. Jesus was a Jew, and he celebrated Passover. We read in Matthew 26, verse 17, "Now on the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread, and the disciples came to Jesus, saying to him, 'Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?' While they ate this meal, Jesus said, 'Bread is my body, and blood is my lamb, is my the wine is my blood.' Through Jesus' sacrifice at the cross, Passover received a new meaning. Passover is a story of redemption, of saving our lives. When an angel of death passed over the people in Egypt, they were delivered from slavery. Now we are delivered from the slavery of sin. So the Passover in the land of Egypt was a foreshadowing that of Jesus as a Passover lamb, giving life for our redemption. So before they had to fulfill an animal, now he was crucified for us. God has instituted Passover to be remembered always. Jesus was not crucified on any ordinary day. He had to die on the Passover to give the real meaning of Passover, the day that God delivered the people of Israel. Prophet Daniel, he prophesied in advance 450 years earlier on which day exactly Jesus would be sacrificed. And those who study, they would have known. Jesus was the firstborn of God. He died for our sins. He took the judgment and our punishment that was for us and carried it himself. Jesus' blood shed for us one time forever all our sins. Through his death and resurrection, we have eternal life. We are justified because he paid the price, praise God. We read in Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul." Glory to God. Mm-hmm. So he was killed at the same time that the Passover lambs were killed. Jesus celebrated an early Passover meal because he knew the time of his death is now. He was a lamb that died for us. His death brought eternal life. Since the life is in the blood, he has given his life. Since life is in the blood, he has given his life up to us. He gave life, he carried our punishment for our sins, and doing justice for the law of God. Did justice by giving his blood life so that we can be saved, praise the Lord. He not only delivered us from slavery in Egypt, but he's delivered us from all sin. Glory to God. The curse that came on every man through the sin of Adam was nailed to the cross with Jesus Christ. He took our curse on him. The curse that carried diseases and all kinds of problems was on him. He carried it himself so that we can be forgiven and that we can be healed. We are delivered from that curse. We are delivered from the power of Satan. And now we are free, praise the Lord. Like the Israelites, we're free from Egypt. We are free from the curse of the law. We are no longer under law. We are no longer under religion. Jesus gave us a new life in fullness. We can rejoice and be happy for what he has done for us. The Lord's Supper or communion is a memorial feast. Jesus broke the bread and gave the cup many times. When the two disciples were on the road to Emmaus, the resurrected Jesus appeared to them and they didn't recognize him. Do you know how they recognized him? When he broke the bread and gave it to them. In breaking and sharing the bread, they became aware of who this stranger was. They recognized him as the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus' Last Supper became a part of the disciples' remembrance. Whenever the disciples came together to eat the bread, they remembered him. This is what Jesus said. Whenever you eat the bread and drink the juice, remember me. Remember me. Whenever you eat this Passover meal, remember me. Acts chapter 2 describes just how we can take part in that communion. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41 through 42, it says, "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers." Jesus commanded the believers should be baptized. Every believer should be baptized. In Acts, only those who were baptized took part in that communion. All who believed were baptized. Baptism is a baptism of faith when you confess that your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Baby baptism is not biblical. Baptism is death from the old life of sin, from everything in the past, remembrance or resurrection in Christ to a new life. A baby cannot confess faith in Jesus Christ. Therefore, when we talk about baptism, we talk about the baptism of faith. Paul wrote about taking communion unworthily in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 29. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment on himself, not discerning the Lord's body. In the next verse, so in communion we remember, the death of Jesus and his atoning work. The blood of Jesus is the life that flowed for us. When his blood was signed, he signed a new covenant with us, a new contract with us. We are no longer under the law, the covenant of law, but we are under the covenant of grace. So let us remember what communion is all about. Remember that Jesus went through a cruel death. His body was broken. His life's blood was flowing. Through his death and resurrection, he made a new covenant with us. Let us take part in communion in a worthy way. Communion is a serious, earnest thing, but also a happy event. If Jesus didn't go to the cross and die for us, we would still be in sin. We would be lost. So I thank God for sending Jesus Christ to die for us on the cross and to be raised again. Jesus did not stay in the grave. He rose to life. This is a message about communion. Jesus gave his body and his blood for our redemption. Thank God he didn't stay in the grave. The disciples thought all is over. All is finished. Now he has died. Yet, it was only a new beginning. We rejoice that through his sacrifice and death, the resurrection and ascension, we have life in his fullness. Praise the Lord. The curse has been broken. Sickness has no power over us anymore. We are free. Praise God. Thank you.